Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Mrs. Moore had a fourth grade class, and she said, okay, here's the assignment class. At the end of the week, you're going to have to come up with a story from your personal life, and it ties into something with a moral. So at the end of the week, it was Friday, and she said, okay, who goes first? Little girl raised her hand, Christy. Christy got up there. She said, I spent the summer with my grandparents, and they have a farm, and they had a bunch of chickens, and they told me that when the chickens laid eggs, if they have baby chicks, that I could sell the baby chicks, and then I could keep the money, and I was really thinking about all the nice things I was going to buy. She said, but they laid a bunch of eggs, but all the eggs didn't hatch, and I didn't have the money to get what I wanted. And the moral of the story is, don't count your chickens. Then little Brandon wanted to go next, and so Brandon stands up there. He said, my Aunt Sally was in the Army in Afghanistan, and her plane got shot down. And as she was parachuting out, the only thing she had was a handgun and a bottle of whiskey. She drank the whiskey on the way down, landed right in the middle of a bunch of Taliban warriors, took 12 of them out with her handgun. When she ran out of bullets, she broke the bottle and used it like a knife and took out six more. And Miss Moore looked at him and said, Brandon, that is a horrible story. What in the world could be the moral to that? He said, oh, it's simple. Don't mess with my Aunt Sally when she's been drinking. Then soon. Oh, it's good to laugh in church. I hope that's not the only thing you remember. But we have been talking about staying connected. And it's one thing to make that connection to the Lord. We always want everyone to do that, to make a connection. But it's another thing to stay connected. And different levels of that, staying connected can be where, man, you know you've got a relationship with Him, and that's growing, and that's where we want you to be. But to stay connected, to stay in there. And so this morning, I want to talk about staying connected when you go through down times and difficult times. When I mean down times, I don't mean no activity. I mean where you are maybe down mentally, down emotionally. And in these down times, what do you do in the down times? Well, if you know, you can go on Google, and Google will give you plenty of ideas about what to do. I looked it up, and there was a secular article, and they gave you negative responses to down times and positive responses. And some of the negative responses I thought were interesting. They said a negative response to down times is some people go into what they call negative self-talk, where they're kind of putting themselves down, telling themselves bad things about themselves. And that's not a good response. Negative self-talk. Another thing is people oftentimes during downtimes will overindulge in eating and alcohol, and then even bringing drugs, recreational and prescription drugs into it, and they're overindulging there, and they're simply trying to take the edge off that pain, but the overindulging obviously doesn't lead to good things. The third thing they listed, I thought was one of the keys, was they said, often during downtimes, people respond by isolating themselves from family and friends. And you see people begin to cut. They're going through a difficult time. They're going through a downtime. And they've got this, leave me alone, don't come around me. And that's actually, it's not a good response. It's not a help. Then they talked about positive responses, some positive things you can do when you're going through a downtime. And these are just kind of practical. The first one was exercise or get outdoors. And I agree. I think there's something about exercising, just doing it and going through it helps you. Maybe going outdoors, change of pace, it is helpful. That's an answer. They had some other ones. Well, they said obviously interacting with other people is a good one. They listed formulating a plan of action to come through the difficult or down times. And I thought, if you're there where you're formulating a plan, you're on your way out. Because there's something about a plan is, here's what I can do next. I would tell people who lost jobs, I just say, just get your resume together. Just take that step. and then begin to go out and send it out. So taking a step, there's something that's uplifting about action. And then, this is a secular article, they said pray or go to church. Let me just amend that. How about pray and go to church? But I thought it was interesting that this secular article listed prayer and church as help. Obviously, it's going to depend on the church, but we think if you come to this church, we should help you. And if you leave church more depressed than you came in, you need a new church. And so, because the gospel is good news, and so these are just ideas. I said that this could help you. Let me give you some this morning. Let me talk to you about when you go through a down or difficult time, one of the things you want to do is begin to strengthen your connection to the Lord. And we want to look at a guy, David, and we're going to look at one of his psalms today. This is a great psalm. It's a great progression of what to do. This is from the CSB version. It says, "Why, my soul, are you so dejected?" Now, if you read my favorite Bible version is New King James. It'll say cast down. But I think this is a little more modern. "Why, my soul, are you so dejected?" Now, he's talking to his soul. "Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan." He's talking about, I remember God and the peaks of Hermon and the Mount Mizar. So he gives us something to do. First thing that David does, I think, is really, really smart, is David is talking to his soul. He is talking to his soul. In other words, not every thought that comes through our mind is something that we need to go with the flow of. Now, you know that. Have you ever been driving on like a bridge, like some of the bridges going to Louisiana on I-10? Ever gone up on those big bridges and the idea comes, drive off the bridge? If you're here, you have resisted that thought. You have not accepted that thought. And so, or you're in a convenience store, and this thought comes, you could rob this convenience store. Whoa, wait a minute. Hang on. You know that's a messed up thought. But how about the thoughts that say, God doesn't love you, there's no hope for you, it's never going to get better, you're just a waste of time. Those are negative thoughts, and and you have to look at your soul and go, whoa, we are not thinking that soul. So in other words, we're challenging negative thoughts. That's what David is doing. He's like, why are you so dejected? Why are you down? And then he said this, put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. Guys, there's a lot of things we can trust today. A lot of them are unstable. He never changes. We can put our hope and our trust in God. And then he said, I'm still going to praise him, my Savior and my God. And so, in other words, I'm going to put my hope there. And also, I'm going to give God praise. And there's something powerful in connecting about praise. He said, you know what? He said, when I'm depressed, I'm going to remember you. What's he doing? He's being intentional and saying, I'm not going to stay in this down condition. I'm going to come out of it. And praise is one of the most effective ways. Giving God thanks, giving God praise is one of the greatest connectors to the Lord. Now, we know that in worship and praise. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I bet you people have come in here and they've maybe felt kind of down, but during the worship and praise, they're like, I feel better already. Isn't it amazing how you can just sing and worship and just feel better already? Don't you appreciate we have such good worship leaders and good people that do a great job? I'm doing better. And there's something about praising that connects you and connects you to God and softens your heart. Joy and I for years went to Lakewood Church, and we lived up in this area. And so to go to church, it was about 40 minutes. And, you know, we had two little kids, Matt and Christina, and then we had Michael, and there are demons that hide socks on Sunday morning. You know that. And so you're trying to get three kids into the car. You're trying to get them in car seats. Matt used to squirm. He was like little Houdini. He could get out of a car seat. We're looking over there, and he's like, hi, I'm out. We're like, get back in the car seat. So you're beating children, and then you're arguing with your wife. And in 40 minutes, you can launch a pretty good fight. And we would be arguing and just, of course, you don't argue when you get out of the car. You're like, oh, yeah, praise God. Good to see you. But I'm walking into church. We got the kids, and I'm talking to Joy like this. I'm like, I'm telling you, that's not what happened. I know this is foreign to all of you guys, but indulge me just for a second. So we're arguing on the way to church. Of course, she's not. I'm still. And I could make it through maybe two worship songs. And I would look over her and go, I'm sorry. What was it? It's when I'm worshiping, I'm connecting my heart to Him. And when I connect my heart to Him, it softens my heart. And I realize, and usually it was 98% of the time, it was me that was wrong to begin with. And so I'm always the one, no amens. And so I was always just apologizing, but I couldn't make it through an entire worship service without, because what? I was connecting my heart to God. Listen, in the down times, it's not when we need to disconnect from God. It's when we need to come closer, because then He becomes our answer. And I'm going to show you a guy who did that. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. His name is David. And David, if you know his story, he was a shepherd boy. He was the eighth brother. And so in a home with a lot of testosterone, they forgot him. And in fact, they had a big feast one day, didn't even invite him to the feast. So he was the baby brother. He's the one that everyone ignored. And yet God chose him. And he just had such a great heart for God. He goes out and kills Goliath, and the whole country's excited about it, starts singing songs about David. Ooh, David, David. And it made Saul, the existing king, angry and jealous. And Saul tried to kill David. And so David is now going from being the hero to having to run for his life. And this is where we find him in this story, when David has a very down and difficult day. David fled that day from Saul's presence and went to King Achish of Gath. But Achish's servant said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Don't they sing about him during their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And David took this to heart and became very afraid of the king Achish of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. He acted like a madman around them, scribbling on the doors of the city gate, letting saliva run down his beard. "Look, you can see the man is crazy," Achish said to his servants. "Why did you bring him to me?" I love this next phrase. "Do I have such a shortage of crazy people that you brought this one to act crazy around me? Is this one going to come into my house?" So David left Gath and took refuge in the cave of Adullam. And when David's brothers and his father's whole family heard, they went down and joined him there. And in addition, every man who was desperate, in debt or discontented, rallied around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. Bad day for David. David runs, he's running for his life, and he runs to the Philistine king. Gath was the hometown of Goliath, who he had killed. I don't know what David was thinking, but it's interesting to note, it's one of the times that you don't hear David inquire of the Lord before he makes a big move. You begin to see that through the rest of his life, but this time he doesn't inquire. He runs for his life in the wrong direction. And they see David, and David maybe thought that they would give him a break, but the Gath, they're like, "We know this guy. This is the guy who's like killed us, killed thousands of us." In other words, they knew him as an enemy. And then David, this mighty man of God, this warrior, this who'd done nothing wrong to escape out of that situation, he's scared. Now he's afraid. And so now he's got to act like a crazy guy. He's like, he's scribbling on the gate. He's like drooling on himself. And they look at him and go, "King Achish, I love that. I got plenty of crazy people. I don't need another crazy person around me." And David is able to escape. That was probably a God idea. That at least he was able to get out. But it's embarrassing. Have to act like you're all crazy and everything. And then he escapes. But he escapes to a cave. I don't know about you, I've been in caves. Caves are nice to visit and leave. But they're dark and usually damp. And there's nothing about a cave that makes people, I know some people live in caves, but most people don't go, "Hey, when I grow up, I'd like to get a cave and live in a cave." They're dark and damp. And in the cave, you would think, "Oh man, what a bad place to be." But David was in the cave, but the cave wasn't in David. And David, in the middle of that dark time, you know, when he could have gotten upset, he didn't let his environment cause him to be down. And he could have played the victim. He could have done the why me. God, I thought I was supposed to be a king, and I was anointed to be king, and all I tried to do was help, and I killed Goliath, and then Saul's trying to kill me, and then I go to Achish, and I just tired, and now I'm in a cave. He didn't play that. He didn't play the victim. David never disconnected from God. You know what David did in that cave? He wrote one of my favorite psalms, Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. It's a beautiful psalm. And he wrote this psalm in the cave. And so what you're seeing is these are the expressions of a man with a grateful heart. That even in the middle of a downtime, he never stopped being grateful. He never stopped praising God. He had this relationship, and this was a powerful one. He did something else too. Here David is in a cave, and all of a sudden people start coming to him. His family comes to him, and people begin to come to him. But it's not like you're getting the cream of the crop. It's that everyone who comes to David is discontented. One verse says in distress, in debt. So in other words, they got no money. And discontented, a better word for that, the Hebrew word for that means bitter of soul. So everyone who shows up to help David, it's like, yeah, I hate the government. I owe them money, but I'm here. David's like, oh, great. Nobody who was sharp, nobody who was strong, nobody who was stable. He got the three D's, discontented, distress, and in debt. There's a, have you ever heard that thought, like attracts like? That's obviously not true because David was not that way. And yet all these people with problems came to him. And David could have said, you know, guys, I really don't have time for you guys. Y'all need to go work it out. Instead, he became their leader. And he began to pour into their lives. And let me tell you what happened. Many of these discontented, distressed, and in debt people became some of the mightiest fighting force that Israel had ever known. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But in the middle, it's David who's putting something into them. He didn't disconnect from God. He didn't separate himself from people. And David did not stay in the dark times. But what about us? We can learn from David. Can learn from his example, and we can do some of the very same things. Here's the first thing. This is important. Develop a heart and a lifestyle of gratitude and praise. Now, I know we hear this in church, and I'm about to show some verses to you, and I don't want you to go, okay, yeah, right. That's not realistic. Look at this verse here. Paul wrote the church. He said, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks and everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We read that and we think, nah, that's a nice idea. That's great. That works for preachers and people who are like super spiritual. But, you know, Alan, I work a real job. Or I've got kids. All your kids are gone, so you don't know what it's like to have craziness around the house. I've got kids. You don't realize who I married. You don't realize who my in-laws are. You don't realize... And listen, if you're not careful, or you'll start to say, well, I'm just not a spiritual person. Guys, this wasn't given to us to give us something difficult to do. This was given to us as a protector and as a powerful connector with the one who made us. He knows us. And if we'll begin to do this, one, we put ourselves in the will of God. Number two, it's a great strategy against the overwhelming thoughts of negativism, this negative and emotions that go negative. It's a great strategy against them. And it's such a blessing. So here's the deal. Don't wait for things to get great. Thank God now. Praise him now. Give him thanks now. Joy and I were talking about it. We've been married a little over 42 years and to each other. And we've talked about how in 42 years with three kids and seven grandkids, you go through stuff, plus a church. And we've talked about some of the difficulties that we've gone through. And Joy and I We've said it. We just grind it out. We have gone through problems with our kids. We've gone through problems with each other. We have gone through problems with the church. We've gone through problems with grandkids. We've dealt with problems, not all the time, but it's just life. And we've talked about the fact that we haven't praised our way through. We have grinded our way through. We are not quitters, and we don't quit. That's one thing both of us, that's why we're still married. Neither one of us would quit. I'm like, I'm not quitting. You can quit. And you're like, I'm not quitting either. So that kept us married in the beginning years because we were willing to grind it out. But there's a difference between grinding it out and praising your way out and keeping grateful and thankful. And so what I'm sharing with you is don't do what I did. Because life's going to happen. Don't do this. There's a different way. And I'll tell you, over the years, we've gotten better at it. That we don't let everything in life cause us just to grit our teeth and go, we're going through. Instead, we're like, God, you're going to help us. And with you helping us, we're going to make it through this situation. Now, I use the word develop. It said develop a lifestyle and a heart of gratitude and praise. And I think a lot of times people go, I don't even know how to do that. So I'm going to just give you, this is real practical advice this morning. I'm going to show you what I do. Because a lot of times people say, how do I do that? I can come in here and praise, but how do I bring that into my everyday life? Because you can't live in church. How can I do that? How can I bring it here and into my life? And so we have been given a book that is so helpful. And instead of trying to me just sit in my chair and go, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. I found that this works. This is Psalms 118. And a lot of times I would just sit in my house. I've got a room. Joy goes in her room. I go to mine. Say, well, don't y'all pray together? Nope. My time with the Lord is my time with the Lord. Amen. And her time with the Lord is her time. And so we would go in Psalms 118. This is kind of just how we do. And here's the thing. Praise is, and being grateful is not something you have to have this overwhelming feeling to do. Right. It's something you can just discipline yourself to do. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. For his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. I can stop right there. I say, Lord, thank you. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are good to me. I call on you, and I thank you that you will answer me. When I'm going through bad times, Lord, I know you're going to be there. You are on my side. I am not going to be afraid. So what am I doing? I'm taking, you say, well, Alan, that's not original. You're not taking your own word. Listen, you can always branch off from this, but this is where it's a great place to start. A lot of times the hard times is getting started. So I'm just going to start with this. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And it says, you push me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I say, Lord, I thank you. When you come by my tent, you're going to hear the voice of rejoicing and salvation. I'm going to praise you. I trust you before I trust in man. I'm taking anointed words and I'm putting them in my mouth. And I'm just bringing them to the Lord. And then, you can take off from this. They say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has given us light. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. You can actually talk yourself into being happy just taking these psalms and repeating these and just taking those to the Lord. Now, you know, like I said, I'll not be embarrassed to do it. This seems weird. Well, anything that you start off with, it seems weird. You learn how to play golf. The golf swing seems weird. Some of you, when you kissed, you weren't expert when you first kissed somebody. You were like. You didn't even know what you were doing. You were just like. But you didn't quit. Because you thought this can get better. Listen, if you won't quit this can get better. It can become a part of your lifestyle. This can work in you. It's practice, and you develop it. You can practice it. And so just begin to do this. And listen, one thing about gratitude, I will say this. Gratitude's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you will lose it. I've seen people over the years, we've been doing this a while, I've seen people come in, I've seen staff members come in. When they first come in, they just love the church. They're like, oh, I just love the church. I just love you, Pastor Allen, and I love you, Joy, and I love the church. I just love everything about it. But a couple of years later, they're like, mm-hmm. And what happens is, if something happens and you allow yourself to stop being grateful, then you don't see what's good, then you see what's wrong. But if you're grateful, and I've watched it over the years, our employees who stay grateful, they're still with us. They are still grateful. They're there. You have to stir yourself up. It's like I said, it's like a muscle. If you use your gratitude muscle, it will get stronger. You give thanks to the Lord. You give thanks for your spouse. You can give thanks for your friends. If you become intentional about it, I just looked at my wife the other day. I said, I want to thank you for this. And I just listed some things that she has done for me. I said, I'm thankful. But expressing that, it's a connector. Expressing it to God connects you with Him. Expressing it with other people connects you with them as well. It's a great connector. Here's the second thing to do. We're going to stay connected and during difficult times. Second thing is reach out beyond yourself. If you become a follower of Jesus, then we have to change the more of me mentality. It's not all about us. It's following Him as we learn that we're going to think about other people. And in not just getting involved with us, and I've seen this too many times, when people go through a difficult time, the tendency is to want to withdraw and kind of circle the wagons, and nobody gets in and no one can talk to me. But the problem is, then the focus becomes only on you. And if the focus only is on you, you're not seeing anything good. You begin to see the bad. The idea is that as a follower of Jesus, we begin to reach out for other people. We're interested in being a blessing to other people, and in helping other people, we get help. And Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, let each of you look out not only for its own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now that seems counterintuitive. Alan, I've got problems and I'm going through difficulties. Yeah, I understand that. But one of the best things you can do when you're going through difficulties, instead of focusing on you, is reach out to somebody else, because then you're invoking the law of sowing and reaping, and you sow seeds of help and help comes back your way. You sow seeds of isolation, you're not going to reap anything good. So you want to begin to reach out. Like I said, it sounds counterintuitive, but God knows what He's doing. And when He said to begin to give and serve, that's what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. We follow Him. And when you do that, especially in dark times, it can make such a difference. I know a girl that was a number of years ago was raised in a background that was kind of tough, and she was a little bit forgotten and emotionally a little fragile. Went to college, and some girls introduced her to the Lord. And she became a believer. She had not grown up a believer, but she became one. And as she began to love the Lord, she broke up with her old boyfriend. And a little while later, she met this other guy who was just seemed like the perfect guy. Came from a wealthy family, good-looking guy, Christian. Thought they were going to get married, and they broke off, and it cratered her emotionally. She couldn't handle it. She was making great grades, but emotionally she could no longer handle school, and she dropped out of college. They were concerned about her. Her family was concerned about her, so they sent her out to California to see some relatives. And in California, she was there for a little bit, then she decided she wanted to do something. So she got involved with a Catholic agency. Well, a group of nuns would create a special needs children and adults respite home where parents of special needs, and a lot of severely special needed children, could come, and they could drop their children there. And in this home, they would take care of them, and the parents would have a break. Sometimes they would go away for a week and have a break. So here she was. She was 20, 21 years old. She goes to this thing. She's still hurting. And she starts helping at this special needs home. And then everyone in the home quit And the Catholic nuns looked at her and said, "You're now the head of this home at 21 years old." She said she had so focused on the fact that she had all these kids with these needs and all this. And so she said, "I'm praying for them. I'm praying for their families." She said, "I began to realize that, man, their situation was a whole lot worse than my situation." She said, "And my mind began to snap back and my emotions began to stabilize. And I began to get strong, not as she focused on herself, but as she focused on some other people, helping them." She did this from May to September and then took a couple of weeks off. In October, she's coming through Texas and meets an amazing man. And winds up marrying him. And for 28 years, she has been a huge spiritual example and blessing to this church. I'm talking about Joy, who went from broken to better. And that's God's plan. Not that we just continually focus on us, but that we're able to take those dark times, those difficult times, and say, "God, I'm going to praise you in the middle of them. I'm going to develop a lifestyle, a grateful heart of praise. Then I'm going to look and see who I can bless." And in doing that, it's going to change some dark times for you. You can go from broken to a whole lot better. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are right now struggling, going through down times, difficult times, dealing with issues and things that are just absolutely have their foot on their neck. But Lord, I thank you that your plan and your heart and your desire is that they would come free, is that they would be able to stand strong and emotionally strong and mentally strong, and that they would break out of any kind of doldrums or darkness that's held them bound. Lord, thank you. You do continue to bring truth that brings freedom. And I pray for freedom for people who are hurting. Since your bowed eyes are closed, let me talk to a different group. If you're here and you say, "Alan, I don't know that I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. I'm not confident of that." Or maybe you say, I did, but I've gotten away from him and I want to come back. Well, here's the good news. The good news is he is waiting with open arms. And his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. Now, I'm not going to have you come forward, not going to have you stand up, but I am going to ask you to do one thing, just as an acknowledgement. It's an act of your faith. If you say, "Alan, I've been away from the Lord and I want to come back, or I want to make sure that I stand right with the Lord, would you pray for me?" I'm just going to ask you just to lift your hand and wave it at me just real quick, if you would. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. And maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. If you're online, obviously I can't see you. But maybe you wanted to and thought, "Nah, I missed it." No, God sees hands. And I think it's good. But he also sees your heart. So we're going to pray this prayer. I want you to pray it with us out loud. If you're online and watching and you are by yourself, pray it out loud with us. If you're with others, pray it quietly. If you're here, we're going to pray it with you as a church family. But pray this from your heart. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Head still bowed just for a moment. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those, Father, who have come out of spiritual darkness into the light, and for those who've come back. And we rejoice with them and rejoice at the wonderful plans that you have for them. We are thankful for your salvation. So, Father, we thank you today. We can continue to give you praise, to give you thanks, to just to continue to develop a lifestyle of praise to you. Thank you that we have the capacity to do it. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.